Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer and so enter into his glory? In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I mentioned in the bulletin, and then also we had sent out an email, that these mission conferences will be based on Suffering with Christ by Dom Marmion, the Benedictine. He's a saint, St. Columba. He's an Irish saint. He died in 1923. He's famous for many different works on the spiritual life. And so with that, I thought that it would be a fitting kind of topic, Suffering with Christ, because not only does it bring out the idea of our Lord and his sufferings and what he suffered on the cross for all of us, but then also we'll talk a little bit about how we can cooperate in that work of redemption by sharing in his passion, the dispositions we have, how to produce those dispositions, and then finally how that suffering, it will lead to life everlasting. And so hopefully through these next 3 days, if you're able to come to all of the conferences, we can see a bit of that. It's a whole book that is just kind of compilations of the work of Don Marmion. And so from that, with a mission, you can gain a plenary indulgence by the attendance of all the conferences and receiving the blessing at the very end of it. So obviously Wednesday we'll have that opportunity if you're able to attend all of them. Obviously, according to your schedules, as you can. So as I mentioned, this topic is, I think, a very fitting one for us. I mean, suffering for one is something that is a worldwide fact. And even in a way, no man can escape from it. We can say that it waits for every man to enter into this world, and even to the point it walks him to the grave. But through suffering, we also understand that we can share in the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so how suffering also aggrasps the entirety of man, not only the body, but also the soul, his heart, his mind. And so that is the thing that we must see. One, we have our Lord as the example of that and what he suffered for all of us. I mean, being the God-man, he underwent all of this suffering in order to redeem mankind. And so we see with the cross that our Lord died on, that the cross is the loftiest and most meaningful symbol of suffering. It is the true, as Bishop Sheen had said, it is the greatest sermon. The cross and what our Lord suffered, it is the greatest sermon that can be preached. And so even though suffering at times, it can be a scandal for some, folly for others, for still others, though, you can say it is kind of that acid test of our faithfulness, the golden key to perfection and the union with Christ. How we accept the suffering that God gives to us, how we handle it, how we deal with it, this can be the means of our sanctification. A lot of times we hear that. Obviously, as priests, we try to preach that, to encourage the faithful, to help the faithful to understand that. But yet, when we are suffering, when we're going through it, it is difficult for us to sometimes grasp that fact. Because we are the ones that are suffering. We are the ones that are undergoing the trial, the tribulation, whatever it may be. And so therefore, it's difficult for us in a way to understand that part of it. And so that's why it's good for us to meditate upon the Passion of our Lord, especially during this Holy Week, to try to read either the Passions, if you're not able to attend the Masses, tomorrow and then Wednesday, have the second and third of the Passions accounts of the Gospel, before obviously finally on Good Friday we have the Gospel of St. John. But it's good for us to read through that, it's good for us to meditate upon that, to do reading on that, because one, it gives us an understanding of all what our Lord went through for all of us, what he suffered in order for us to gain heaven again, for the gates of heaven to be open. And through his willingness to suffer that, that was the door that opened up for all of us. But it is also something for us to understand that our Lord, being God, did not have to undergo all of that. Obviously, it was the Father's will. But to redeem mankind, he necessarily did not have to suffer all that he went through. It was that willingness, that love that he had for all of our souls. And that's why he went through it the way that he went through the passion and his death. And so I think from that, that gives us also a greater understanding, a greater appreciation for all that our Lord suffered when we too are asked to suffer. When God gives us different crosses and trials that we have for us to try to bear them for Almighty God. And so therefore it will require from us a living faith, a love, and that kind of determines how we react to the crosses and the trials that God gives to us. If we have a true love and an understanding of that, yes, we will try to accept them to the best of our ability, as humanly possible that we can. But it does, it determines based on the love that we have and then the faith that we have in understanding that. Because we can say on instinct for all of us, it is hard for us to accept sufferings and crosses. It is difficult for us to bear those. And so even to the point of, Don Marmion says, that we repulse it violently as a foe, as an enemy to us. Because it is against our natural instincts to accept. It is only through the accepting of the cross and understanding the crosses and trials that we will be able to gain a greater love and a greater appreciation for it. And so if we only view it from a natural point of view, that is where it becomes hard for us. But if we can try to look beyond that, taking it from a supernatural view, of seeing how these crosses and these trials can help us to gain life everlasting. That's what I mean for the last conference, of how the suffering leads to life for all of us. And that is what we must try to do at this time, especially because we are in this time period of Holy Week, and where we truly contemplate the suffering of our Lord. And that is what I explained when I said that the veils are there to help us to focus on the passion and death of our Lord. It is there for us to realize what our Lord suffered for all of us. And that is why then on Good Friday we have the unveiling of the cross. Because the cross is the means of salvation for us. We just said that during the stations. And so as I say, on a natural point of view, the cross will become sterile. The sufferings that we have, they won't produce anything in us. And even in some ways, it can become dangerous for souls because through the sufferings that they have, they turn away from Almighty God. They don't want to accept them. And so, yes, for some people, because they don't understand it, they don't see necessarily that the consequences of these things is because of sin. And so therefore, if we gain a better understanding of that, it can help us to atone for our own sins, and then it can help us to merit then the redemption that our Lord tried to win for every soul. And that is, when we look at the agony of our Lord in the garden, it was because there were souls that turned their back on it. But here he is suffering, he is going to undergo his passion, his death on the cross, and yet there would be souls that would turn their back to it, that would not accept it, would not want it. And that is what our Lord suffered so much in his agony. And so Don Marmion says it's important to know how to accept the sufferings that God gives to us, that we must teach men to carry their cross. And that is the thing about Don Marmion. As I say, he was a great spiritual author. It was one that led many souls. not only by his writings that he had, there's a compilation of that, Union with God. It's the letters of Dharmarmin that he writes to souls. But it was also through his example that he gave to souls. Not only through his preaching, but then also his way of life. It is said of Dharmarmin that he was always jolly and happy. But it doesn't mean he didn't have his crosses and his trials too. But he accepted them. And he realized to what merit that they can be for his soul by accepting them. And so he was one that was wholly surrendered to the love of Christ. And that is why in many of his books, he has Christ the ideal of the priest, Christ the ideal of the monk, Christ the life of the soul, all of these different things that he wrote in helping us to understand that Christ is the center of our life. And being the center of our life, we must try to accept then the good with the bad. The bad meaning the sufferings and the cross that our Lord underwent. And many of the spiritual authors will say that if you want to get to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, you must go through his passion or his suffering. And so that is where then we must take the whole sense, the whole idea of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he underwent for all of us. That it was his mission to redeem mankind. And so therefore for Dharmarmin, he had this love of Christ and he wanted to give Christ to souls and he wanted souls to be given to Christ. And that you can see through all of his writings. I mean, granted, some of his writings, they're fairly lofty, but I think that if you try reading them and just trying to grasp the main theme, the main idea of them, it will center on the fact of our Lord. It will center on the fact of Christ and how he lived his life. Another of his famous books is Christ and His Mysteries, which goes through kind of the whole liturgical year through Christ, through the eyes of Christ. I mean, that is where we must try to grasp and to understand how we are to live our lives in order to get back to God. It is looking at the example of our Lord. That is why he was sent as a model to all of us. And that is why St. Augustine says, "Oh, happy fault," in reference to Adam and Eve, because it gave us Christ as a model. And so therefore, that is why for us to try to understand that and to see through the trials, the sorrows that we undergo in this life, they can be the means of sanctification for our soul. And so therefore, it's the starting point to transform us into, he calls it a staff of strength, because we're able to accept the sufferings as well as the good things, the graces that are given to us. We don't waver. And that is a lot of times what happens to all of our souls. It is easier, obviously, when the good times are there, when the graces are given to us by God. But then, yes, when the trials and the crosses come, when we hit that brick wall, a lot of times we just stop. But we must continue on. That is where we can say the greater merit will come for the soul because of these crosses and trials. And so for Dharmarmin, he considers Christ as the man of sorrows. Because for Dharmarmin, he followed very much closely to St. Paul in his writings. And we think about St. Paul in his epistles, and he talks about Christ crucified. "I live not I, but Christ liveth in me." But this understanding of being transformed in Christ. And that is where we must try to apply that to our lives on a practical level even. As I say, Dharmarmin, some of his writings, they can be very lofty. But it can also be very practical to our soul. Because all of us, we undergo crosses and trials. And so therefore, he says, we have to teach people the art of accepting these crosses. It is an art. And so therefore, yes, it is on a practical level for us. How do we accept these crosses and trials? How do we allow them to help us to merit then heaven for us. And so for Don Marmion, he knows that nothing touches the soul, so draws and binds it as the cross, as the sight of the God-man suffering for us. That is why it is so powerful to see that. And for people, when some people watch the Passion, the movie, because they saw that with their eyes, because mankind, well, we're body and soul. And so sometimes we need that stimulus to help us to grasp that and to understand that even though the Gospels have all of the Passion of our Lord. I mean, that is why the Church gives to us on Palm Sunday, then on Tuesday and Wednesday of Holy Week, and then finally on Good Friday, it gives us all of the Passion accounts. And that is the true source of our meditation, Sacred Scripture, because it's inspired Word of God. But that is where a lot of times for people, that is where they can gain so much, by reading a book on the Passion of our Lord, by meditating and seeing what our Lord went through, his scourging, the crowning with thorns, the blood that he let go for all of us. And so therefore, then it helps us when sometimes we contemplate and we understand that and we see that. Because it helps us to see what our Lord underwent for all of us. That is why it's so important for us to contemplate and to see the cross, the crucifixion, to have crucifixes in our homes, to contemplate that and to see that. Which truly then differs then a lot of times for the Protestants or different things where they just have a bare cross. Because in a way, they don't want to focus on the sufferings that our Lord underwent. Completely different than the Carmelites who have a bare cross because they offer themselves as a part of that cross. It's a completely different spirituality. But it is something for us to contemplate and to meditate upon, to think about during this time. And so our Lord had said, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all things to myself. There is nothing more fruitful than that union, that understanding of being drawn to our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of this living water, is something that I mentioned on a previous Sunday in the sermon of talking about that his Lord, our Lord is the source of the living water. That's what he mentioned to the Samaritan woman. And so that water is what flows from Calvary. This life of grace. And therefore it gives every trial and every suffering a virtue and a power that is given to us by our accepting of them. And so therefore that's where Don Marmion then kind of sets the stage for this, to understand about the Man of Sorrows. And so for one of the things that we will look at is just Christ's work of redemption, of how the Passion of our Lord, it was the culmination of his redemptive work. Of where we focus on the Passion of our Lord. Because we realize since the fall of Adam, man can only return to God by expiation. To expiate our sins. It is the only means for us to return back to Almighty God. Because of the sin of our first parents. And then obviously the consequence of that upon all of us, born with original sin. And then having the inclination towards sin. And so it's interesting to see how Don Marmion, he brings out the understanding of when the disciples were walking to Emmaus. And if you recall that, you have these two disciples that are talking about how Christ was here to come and to save them. And so they're disappointed because our Lord died on the cross. He wasn't this king for them. And so as they're walking to there, our Lord appears to them as a stranger and asks them, what are you talking about? And it's interesting to see how in the gospel account it relates of how they basically act like, are you the only one that doesn't know what just happened? That this Christ came as the promised Redeemer, as the Messiah, but he died. And that's it. And so they're disappointed in that fact because they were expecting more of an earthly king. Of how they're disappointed in the death of the divine master, thinking that he was the Messiah, he was the one. And for them, it's the apparent downfall of all their hopes concerning any restoration of the kingdom of Israel. So here you have these two disciples on a purely natural level, looking for a king, a natural king, an earthly king. And so they're disappointed that our Lord died. They thought he was the one. And so that's where our Lord comes to them as one that they don't know. And so he's a stranger to them and he asks them, but then he says to them, and it's a bit of a reproach to them. He says, O foolish and slow of heart to believe. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and so to enter into his glory? So he tries to draw them back to understanding. What did the prophets say about our Lord? What did the prophets say about this Christ that is to come? And bring them back to understand that he would have to undergo all of these things, his passion, his death, in order to obtain his glory. And so, yes, it is a reproach to these two disciples because they're looking on purely a natural level. And so just as the same thing as when I brought out the Samaritan woman, she was talking about water from a well. It'll quench your thirst for a while, but then you'll be thirsty again. And our Lord says, I have water that you will never thirst again because I have the source of living water. Everlasting grace. I have that I can give to you. And so immediately she says, I will take the water. So our Lord tries to raise her up from the natural level, a natural point of view. And so the same thing for these disciples. As I say, they're on such a natural viewpoint, looking at for an earthly king, the restoration of the kingdom of Israel, and that's it. But our Lord tries to raise them up. So he says, why then ought Christ to have suffered? Why? Why was that the path? And so then he goes through and says, if he had so willed, could not God have universally forgiven sin without requiring expiation? He's God. As I mentioned, he did not have to go through his passion, he did not have to go through the ignominious death on the cross if it was not the will of God. A lot of the spiritual authors will say one drop of blood would have been sufficient to redeem mankind. But our Lord emptied himself of everything in order to redeem mankind, to show his love, to prove his love to all of us. And so, yes, his power has no limit, but his justice exacted this expiation. Because of our sins, because of those souls that would turn their back on God. So Don Marmion calls the Passion, he says he constitutes the Holy of Holies among the mysteries of Jesus. It is the crowning point of his life, his public life, the summit of his mission here below. And he says the work to which all the others converge and from which they draw their value. So we can say that our Lord's public life, his miracles, his preaching, his teaching, all of it converges, comes from his passion. All of it stems from that redemptive work that our Lord came here to do. That was his mission. And being his mission, that is why our Lord says on the cross, it is consummated. I am done. I have finished the work that I have come here to do. And so we can say all of it stems from our Lord's passion. It was the final act, we can say, of his public life. But all the other things stem from that. So that's why he said it's the crowning point of his public life. It is the hour where our Lord consummates the sacrifice that is to give infinite glory to his Father and to redeem humanity. To glorify his Father, but then also to redeem humanity, all of us. And so he goes through and talks about how our Lord longed for this hour to come. And we can see that when our Lord talks about his hour that is to come. First off, we have the prophecies that talk to all about that, that go through the passion of our Lord and all that he were to suffer. But then how our Lord references all of these things. And he tells his disciples about that. And his disciples, a lot of times, they don't even want to hear it. One, they don't even understand it. They don't grasp what he is even saying. And in some ways, they're just unwilling to accept it. To the point that St. Peter would then be told, "Get behind me, Satan." Because in a way, he was trying to stand in the way of his Father's will. And that is the true indication when our Lord talks about doing his Father's will. That is where you can be referred to as a brother, a sister, a friend to our Lord. If you do his Father's will. And so that is why then our Lord wanted nothing to get in the way of him accomplishing this will. And as he says, to the point of where our Lord longed for this. He longed for the time that he would be plunged into the suffering and undergo the death in order to give us life. And that's what I mentioned that we will try to see as the last conference of how this suffering will bring life to all of our souls. And how important that is for us to understand that. That it gives us an understanding and it gives us a reason why there is suffering. Because too often people in the world, they were asked why. If God is so good, why? Why does he permit suffering? Why does he allow suffering if he's so good? And we have to be able to explain that to people. Because otherwise it makes no sense to people. But if we understand it, if we can explain it to people of why there is the suffering in the world, one, it will help us to accept that suffering, and by accepting it, that will then therefore help us to gain life everlasting. But it's too easy just to kind of wash our hands of it and say, well, it doesn't make sense to me. But it's because we have not, in a way, meditated upon the passion and death of our Lord. Because here you have the innocent victim and suffering so much because of his love for us. And so there, that is why then our Lord, he plunges himself into it. He longs for this hour that he can redeem mankind because that is the mission of his Father. I mean, he shows us that yes, on a natural level, if this chalice can pass, let it pass. But immediately thy will be done. And so therefore, yes, our Lord sees he was willing to accept this bitter chalice that he would taste. Again, the prophets mention that. The dregs that our Lord would have to drink. And so that is the thing that we must try to take this time to contemplate and to think about. Because our Lord, he says, with desire, I have desired to eat this Pasch with you before I suffer. So he again mentions it to the apostles of how he must suffer. He must undergo these things. I mean, he knows in advance of what he would have to undergo. He knows what he will have to suffer because of our sins. And willingly he does. And so the Passion of our Lord is his essential work. As I mentioned, nearly all of the details of his Passion are foretold by the prophets. And all you have to do is look at some of the prophets and see what they say. And how clearly the apostles should have seen that, understood that, and expected that. And that is why our Lord reproaches these two disciples at Emmaus as they're walking to that town. Because they should have understood it. But that is why then the apostles, they left our Lord. Scared and went up to the upper room. So therefore, when we read the accounts of the Passion, we must be struck by the fact of how attentive our Lord is to fulfill what has been announced to every point. And that is something, as I say, I encourage you to look through the accounts of the Passion during this week. To see what it says, to see what it means for us. And how contemplating that, thinking about that, that will help us then to accept the crosses and trials of our own life. The difficulties, the struggles that we undergo. Because it must that the scriptures be fulfilled. There are different times when our Lord says that. That the scriptures may be fulfilled. And then we even see that about no bone in his body being broken. It is because of what sacred scripture says and prophecies about him. And so that is for us kind of this understanding, this introduction to the sufferings that our Lord underwent for us. His redemptive work. His redemptive work being the Passion, the death, the suffering that he would undergo because he loved us. And so that is what we must try to contemplate now. To contemplate his Passion, to do readings about it. This is how we will gain a better understanding of it. By a better understanding of it, it will help us to live our lives better. And so as I say, with these conferences, we'll try to then go through then how we cooperate with that in the next conference. Of what dispositions we need to have in order to cooperate with that. And then what is produced from that. And so that is the thing that Dharmarmin, he talks about the dispositions being silent patience, a generous love. But then it all goes back to the understanding of a filial abandonment. Abandoning ourselves to God's will. And that is for us then to try to understand. As I say, it's not easy. It is difficult when the crosses and trials come to us. But then if we have at least an understanding of it, of why, it can help us to accept it better. And so that's where then he goes through and also talks about how to produce these dispositions. You know, how do we have this patience? How do we have this generous love that will culminate in our abandonment to God's will. And then, as I say, the final conference then will be of how suffering will lead us to life everlasting. Because if we look at our Lord as being a model for us, very clearly, not only is it to follow the virtues that our Lord practiced, but then also following his Father's will. And so, as I say, let us take this time to meditate and to think about the Passion of our Lord. We'll try to see through Dom Marmion a little idea of that, of the sufferings that not only that our Lord underwent, but then also sometimes how we need to accept it better. So if you can come to all of the conferences that you can gain through coming through a mission, that you can gain a plenary indulgence at the end of that, obviously remembering that to gain a plenary indulgence, that we try to go to confession 8 days before or after, try to receive Holy Communion, and then also not be attached to sin, whether mortal or venial. We try to sever ourselves from any attachment to that, and then obviously praying for the intentions of the Sovereign Pontiff, so we can gain that plenary indulgence, which is a great grace for us, right before then the Sacred Triduum. So thank you for your attendance tonight. We'll have the singing accompaniment, and then I'll be available for confessions, as I mentioned, until the last person is available for going. So I'm happy to sit in there as long as necessary in order that you have this opportunity each of the nights, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, that you have the opportunity to make a good confession. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.